They call me Q and Pete. I'm the king of the rumba beat. When I play the maracas, I go chick, chicky boom, chick, chicky boom.
Desi Arnaz. He was the very definition of a Latin heartthrob. The fiery Cuban created a sensation when he introduced the conga to dance-crazed New Yorkers in 1940. Desi's impact on women was even more sensational.
He came on stage and all eyes went to him and he had this bongo drum. Man, he had all the ladies chasing him around and vice versa.
Desi Arnaz earned a reputation as a passionate musician as well as an even more passionate lover. But it was his role as husband to the world's most famous redhead that made him an international celebrity.
She insisted on having Desi as a co-star, and the studio balked at this idea. I mean, it was a racist decision on their part, but they said, Desi's too ethnic, you can't understand him, nobody's gonna buy him as your husband.
On this episode of Mysteries and Scandals, we'll see how this Cuban refugee came to America without money or knowledge of English and became one of television's most powerful moguls.
He had the biggest television studio in Hollywood, and people never think of him as Louis B. Mayer or Jack Warner. They think of him as a bongo player. He was far from that.
We'll also expose the tumultuous off-screen relationship of America's best-loved TV couple.
Each was the love of the other one's life, but there was a great strain.
And we'll examine how Desi's love of wine, women, and song robbed him of his marriage, his career, and ultimately his life.
His eyes would wander to another woman seated elsewhere in the theater. Lucy was fiercely jealous, but she loved him up until the boiling point when she couldn't handle it anymore.
His drinking was the thing that set off his behavior. When you saw him drinking, you wanted to just get out of the way. You know, I don't know what demons he was fighting.
Sounds like we got some splaining to do. I'm AJ Benza. Join me for a look at the stormy life of conga king Desi Arnaz.
On October 15, 1951, television viewers across the country got their first eye full of a ditzy over-the-top redhead named Lucy and her Cuban bandleader husband, Ricky Ricardo. The subsequent success of I Love Lucy made Lucille Ball an American icon. But it was Lucy's husband, Desi Arnaz, who was the brains in the family. Friend and actor, Robert Stack.
Lucy was a magnificent talent, but she needed guidance. And they were sort of joined at the hip, and he was so perfect for her. They were terrific together.
Desi Arnaz was not only the star of I Love Lucy, but served as the show's executive producer, not to mention the fact that he was the top dog at Desilu Studios, which owned the show. Pretty good for a bongo player from Cuba. Tom Gilbert is the co-author of Desilu, the story of Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz.
Desiderio Alberto Arnazi de Acha was born March 2, 1917, in Santiago, Cuba, and he was a child of wealth. His father was the mayor of Santiago, Desiderio II. And his mother, Dolores, who was also known as Lolita, was from the Bacardi rum family.
Loving Lucy co-author, Thomas J. Watson.
In 1933, during the Batista Revolution, unfortunately the Arnaz family was on the wrong side, and Mr. Arnaz was arrested, and the revolutionaries started taking over the neighborhood, and when they were leaving, they saw their house going up in flames, and everything they owned was being destroyed.
16-year-old Desi and his family managed to make it safely to Miami, but their fortune was lost. To help make ends meet, the teenager cleaned bird cages and worked as a singing guitarist in a local band. By 1937, Desi was on his way to the big time. I Love Lucy writers Bob Weisskopf and Bob Schiller.
Desi became a hit when he had a job as a band singer with Xavier Cugat. And Cugat did a lot of business because guys at their dates would say, hey, I want to see that band singer. They all wanted to look at Desi. It was very handsome.
Arnaz moved to New York to join the Cugat band, but soon formed his own group. By the start of 1938, Desi had New Yorkers on their feet when he introduced the conga line to New York City. Radio and TV talk show host Joe Franklin.
Desi Arnaz was packing them in in local nightclubs. And who wanders in one night? The famous Broadway composing team of Richard Rodgers and Larry Hart. And they were so captivated by the man's infectious personality.
Rodgers and Hart put together a show that eventually was called Too Many Girls. And one of the parts called for a Hispanic youth to play one of the football players. Dick Rodgers and everyone else was sold, but this kid was just perfect for the show they were doing.
He came on stage and all eyes went to him, and he had this bongo drum, the biggest bongo drum I ever saw in my life. And he was a young Cuban guy, and man, he had all the ladies chasing him around and vice versa.
Sounds like Too Many Girls could have been the title of Desi's bio. In 1940, RKO Pictures bought the rights to the Broadway hit and decided to put Desi in the picture. You might say the casting was serendipitous.
When Desi Arnaz was brought out to Hollywood to do the film version of Too Many Girls, he met the star of the film in the studio commissary, and it was Lucy.
A match made in Hollywood heaven. When we come back, sparks fly when Latin Lothario Desi Arnaz teams up with fiery redhead Lucille Ball. But will the proud Cuban accept the role of Lucy's second banana? In June of 1940, 23-year-old Cuban band leader Desi Arnaz moved to Hollywood to co-star in a picture called Too Many Girls. While having lunch at the RKO commissary one day, Desi met the star of the film and his future wife, Lucille Ball. But Desi didn't love Lucy right off the bat. As the story goes, the glamorous actress was in heavy makeup for another movie and looked as if she had been through the war and lost.
When Desi met Lucy the second time, when she looked great, he said, "How would you like to learn to Roomba?" And that was his come on line. It was love at first sight, or second sight.
Desi and Lucy quickly became inseparable. When the picture wrapped production, Desi moved back to New York to play with his band. And that's when the couple's passion and their phone bills went through the roof.
They were both terribly jealous people. And so it's like, when you're not in the room with me, who are you with? Lucy knew that females every place. All they had to do was look in Desi's eyes, and it's like, you know, take me, I'm yours.
Actress Carol Cook was a close friend of Desi and Lucy's.
She would think of any reason to get back to New York to see him. And it was on one of those trips that they said, let's get married.
At 6 a.m. on November 30th, 1940, Desi and Lucy drove from Manhattan to Greenwich, Connecticut, tied the knot, and drove back in time for Desi to make his entrance at the Roxy Theater. Talk about your quickie weddings.
It was certainly a wonderful marriage at the beginning. It was a wonderful time for both of them. Lucy always kind of envisioned, you know, the little picket fence, and that wasn't their lifestyle at all.
Though Desi continued to work in New York, the couple bought a house and settled in L.A.'s San Fernando Valley. But when the big Hollywood opportunities came rolling in, they were for Lucy, not Desi.
Even though Desi had made an impressive screen debut, it was harder and harder to find the appropriate roles for him because he was Latin and there weren't all of that many parts. But it was very hit and miss for him, and he ended up going back into the orchestra life because it seemed to be the most lucrative for him.
In the spring of 1943, Uncle Sam sent for Desi. Arnaz spent the next 2 years in the Army entertaining the troops and more than his share of the young enlisted women. When Lucy got wind of her husband's infidelity, she flew off the handle and filed for divorce.
Whenever she saw the man standing in front of her, she melted. He came home, you know, and tried to talk her out of it. And this was like the night before she was supposed to appear in court. And he spent the night with his wife. He thought all was forgiven. And he woke up the next morning and saw her getting dressed and like, where are you going? And she said, I'm gonna go divorce you.
But love saved the day. The divorce suit was dropped, and in November of 1945, Desi was discharged from the Army. Lucy was glad to have her husband back where she could keep an eye on him, and Desi was glad to get back into show business. Movie roles were still hard to come by, so Desi returned to his band, playing regular gigs at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood and Ciro's on the Sunset Strip.
I know that he was kind of happy when he could escape the racism of being told that he could only sing Latin kind of songs. And when he was signed up by RCA, he did some of these songs that were non-Latin oriented. And he was happy. And he was a big, big seller on records.
Desi earned the title of Rumba Rhythm King after appearing in the Universal picture Cuban Pete in 1946. The film featured the song Babaloo, which quickly became Desi's trademark. But even with the hit record, Desi remained in the shadow of his more famous wife, a fact that Arnaz found hard to live with.
Lucy helped Desi out by getting him jobs occasionally. I'm sure his ego must have twinged at that.
But everything was about to change for the Arnaz family. Straight ahead, Desi and Lucy make television history, but will the pressures of success be too much for Desi Arnaz? By the start of 1950, Desi Arnaz and his wife, Lucille Ball, were enjoying modest success in Hollywood. Desi was playing in his band and landing small parts in films. Lucy was starring in her own weekly radio show, My Favorite Husband.
CBS approached Lucy about taking My Favorite Husband to television. She insisted on having Desi as a co-star, and the studio balked at this idea. I mean, it was a racist decision on their part, but they said, Desi's too ethnic, you can't understand him, nobody's gonna buy him as your husband.
Author Greg Oppenheimer is the son of I Love Lucy writer-producer Jess Oppenheimer.
She said, what do you mean? We are married. And they said, we don't care. So they took their own money and devised a vaudeville routine and went on the road to prove to CBS that the public would accept them as a team. And it was a very successful vaudeville tour.
Just after Christmas in 1950, Desi and Lucy received a gift from CBS, the green light to shoot a pilot for the show. But the couple wanted to stay in Los Angeles, not New York, for filming, which wound up costing the studio more money.
They agreed to take less in the way of salary, but they got ownership of the negatives once the show had aired.
So what happened was Lucy and Desi ended up owning all the programs, which later on became a bonanza in syndication.
When they did the pilot episode, they took the film to New York, and Milton Bio, who was the ad man for Philip Morris, who became the sponsor, showed it to his friends Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein. And Oscar Hammerstein said, keep the redhead, ditch the Cuban.
Maybe that's why they called the show I Love Lucy instead of I Love Desi. Just a few months after the birth of little Lucy Arnaz in July 1951, the premiere episode aired and I Love Lucy became a giant success. Desi served as the show's co-star, executive producer, and president of Desi Lu Productions, which owned the series. Desi was doing all the work while Lucy got all the glory.
He was most underrated entertainer and a most underrated businessman. I mean, because he had that comic accent, which he used to his advantage, people didn't take him as seriously as he should have been.
The Grunion stopped running, so we didn't have anything to eat.
Oh, no, the Grunion is not stopped running. I was just tired of fighting a pelican for my breakfast every day.
You did what?
I was just tired of fighting a pelican for my breakfast every day. They didn't stop running.
You're trying to tell me something.
He also never lost the fact that Lucy was the main ingredient of the success of the show. One of my favorite lines was always, she tripped on a cable one day, and he put his arm around me. He says, hey, amigo, anything happens to her, and we're all in the shrimp business.
In June 1952, Arnaz learned he would soon have another mouth to feed.
Lucy announced that she was pregnant. And this was a big thorn because no one had ever been shown pregnant on television. You couldn't even say the word pregnant on television. So Jess said, hey, I've got a great idea. Let's incorporate the baby into the script.
It was the biggest thing ever on television. Lucy went to the hospital to have her baby, which was the same day that Lucy had her baby in real life. It got 44 million viewers, which was 15 million more than watched Eisenhower's inauguration. Desi Jr. was on the first cover of TV Cut.
I Love Lucy won the Emmy Award for Best Situation Comedy in February 1954.
I hope that next year, the Academy does not forget the writers.
Though Lucy and Ricky Ricardo were enjoying a successful TV marriage, the real-life Lucy and Desi Arnaz were in big trouble. Tired of playing second fiddle to his wife, Desi turned to booze and broads.
Lucy always had the problem with Desi about women and booze. Each was the love of the other one's life. But there was a great strain. We all know Desi. You know, in that time, people thought, well, that's the Latin lover, and that's the way Latin men are. Of course, I think Latin men are the ones who spread that rumor.
Keith Thibodeau played little Ricky in I Love Lucy.
There was a lot of tension that I sensed between Lucy and Desi. And of course, the whole set was unsettled about the whole thing.
Hey, it takes two to rumba. And it looked like Desi's dancing days with Lucy were drawing to a close. Up next, mob threats, sad regrets, and the end of Lucy and Desi. In 1957, Cuban-born band leader Desi Arnaz and his comedian wife Lucille Ball became the proud owners of the studio that gave them their start in movies. In a major Hollywood coup, Desi purchased RKO for $6 million. Though Arnaz was now one of the industry's most powerful moguls, he was also one of the most underrated.
He had the biggest studio, television studio, in Hollywood. People never think of him as Louis B. Mayer or Jack Warner. They think of him as a bongo player. He was far from that.
Arnaz had a hand in the development and production of all Desilu shows, including Our Miss Brooks, Desilu Playhouse, and The Untouchables.
The Untouchables went on in the fall of 59, and it came on to fantastic ratings. Unfortunately, it also stepped on a whole lot of toes because it enforced, if you will, stereotypes that the Italian community had been trying to live down for 30 years. And suddenly, every mobster that ever lived was brought back to life within the hour of The Untouchables.
Robert Stack was the star of the hit series.
It didn't pleasure certain groups of people who happened to be gangsters. And there were threats. If you're going to scare somebody, get the guy who's the head. And of course, they went right to Desi. And Desi grew up in the mean streets just long enough to be able to tell them that they could take their hat and wear it.
But mobsters were the least of Desi's problems. His regular boozing was destroying not only his marriage, but his good guy image as well.
He continued to behave rather badly in public, and it became a real problem. In the late 50s, as the Desilu machinery grew bigger and bigger, and Desi was a more and more important cog in it, and he became stressed out, and he began to carry on more. He got to the point where he was caught outside of a house of prostitution, and he was arrested on a drunk charge. That item got into the paper, and Lucy saw it, and she flipped. And I think that was the beginning of the end of the marriage.
Anytime Desi was in trouble with his drinking, and the public became aware of it as in arrest for, I think Lucy was heartsick. Through the years, it began to wear on her. I think it became more open. I think it was harder at the studio than being together. And I think Lucy was always torn by it and emotionally distraught.
In 1960, Desi and Lucy decided to end their 20-year marriage. The couple filmed their final episode as husband and wife on March 2nd, but the two remained very close.
After the divorce, Lucy decided to come back to television with The Lucy Show. In the meantime, Lucy had married Gary Morton.
But it was still Desi she turned to for advice on creative and business decisions. In 1962, shareholders of Desilu became concerned about Desi's indiscretions. Lucy stepped in and bought her ex-husband's share in the company for $3 million.
He decided to live down in Del Mar, right across from the racetrack. Well, lo and behold, he started dating Edith Mack Hirsch, and she was another redhead. And within 6 months, he had married Edie, but Desi still, indulged in alcohol. He still had a wandering eye.
In 1986, Desi Arnaz was diagnosed with lung cancer.
He was dying, and he knew it, and it was very sad. And he says, "I've got Big C." He learned the slang, and it was a very, very sad thing to watch this strong man become very, very weak.
Just before he died, a day or two before, Lucille had called down there, and Lucy Arnaz put the phone to his ear, and they told each other what they meant to each other, and he said that he really messed things up, and she said, "No, you didn't. I love you," and he said he loved her. Again, the love was always there between the two people right up to the very end.
Desi died in the arms of his daughter Lucy on December 2nd, 1986, at the age of 69. In his obituaries, Arnaz was hailed as a television pioneer.
I lost a great friend, and a wonderful guy, and the person that I respected, and one of the best producers I ever worked for. So it was a major loss.
A few weeks later, Lucille Ball was honored for her body of work at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. Desi was supposed to have delivered the introductory speech.
Somebody asked me if I would do his introduction to Lucy. I looked up, and she had a handkerchief to her eye. And I had tears running down my eyes. Now, they were a great couple, and I miss them.
Desi Arnaz represented a breakthrough. He was certainly a pioneer. He was a genius in innovation and in new ideas, new techniques, new procedures. To me, he was indestructible. Desi Arnaz, to me, was the Iron Man. I guess even the Iron Man gets rusty, but to me, he was the Iron Man.
When he'd get into a spot, he says, "Don't worry about it." He says, "I came over here with a guitar and 15 cents from Cuba. I can go back with a guitar and 15 cents. That was his attitude. Devil may care, happy-go-lucky. He was a terrific guy.
Desi Arnaz became a star despite the fact that Hollywood never wanted to make him one. Though he may always be remembered as Lucy's hot-tempered Spanish-speaking husband, Desi was a man all his own. I'm AJ Benza. Join me the next time we take a stroll down the flip side of the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
For two people who loved each other so much, it was sad. And I think they loved each other till the day that they died. So it was a beautiful romance. But maybe like life, it just had a lot of sadness. But I think there were more good times.